But let's turn now to our first heading, understanding the times. Why is this all happening? Or, to put it another way, what is God doing through COVID-19? Is there any reason or rhyme to this pandemic? Does God have a plan? Or is it all just random and meaningless? The first thing I want to say is that to an extent, we have to let God be God in all of this. In Isaiah 40, verse 13, it says, "Who has measured the Spirit of the Lord? Or what man shows him counsel? Whom did he consult? And who taught him the way of understanding? Who taught him the path of justice and taught him knowledge and showed him the way to understand?" But the implied answer is no one. No one has ever known the mind of God or taught him anything about the world that he made. As God himself says in Isaiah 55, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God is infinitely more wise and infinitely more powerful than we can possibly imagine. Which means that it's just impossible for weak, fallen, limited creatures like ourselves to say exactly what he might be doing through any historical event, but especially one that affects so many people as COVID-19. He could be doing 100,000 million different things. In fact, he probably is, most of which we will never know about. We know that he's in control. We know that he works all things according to the counsel of his will. But as to the minute detail of exactly what he might be doing, well, to an extent, we have to hold up our hands and say, God is God. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. So we can't say exactly what he might be doing through COVID-19. But if we stop there, we'd be ignoring the fact that we do have God's word in the Bible. And God might not have told us exactly what he's doing at every single moment of our lives, but nor has he left us completely in the dark about his grand plans for history. No, God has revealed himself to us. First, in the Lord Jesus Christ, John 1, verse 18. No one has ever seen God, but the only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. And secondly, through the Bible, his word. 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us that all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. So we may not know exactly what God is doing at every single moment of every person's life in every country on the planet. But nor are we completely in the dark about what God is doing through this pandemic. Because we can think about how it fits into the overarching story of his word in the Bible. And when we do that, we find that the Bible teaches us two big lessons about our world that help us to understand this pandemic. First, it teaches us that pandemics are a symptom of the fall. And secondly, it teaches us that pandemics are a sign of the end. So firstly, pandemics are a symptom of the fall. In Genesis 1, verse 31, after God had made the world, we're told that he looked out on everything that he had made, and he saw that it was very good. There was no sickness. There was no disease. There was no COVID-19. There was no death. Everything was exactly how God intended it to be, working in perfect clockwork, complete harmony. But when Adam and Eve rebelled against God in Genesis 3, he cursed his creation as a judgment on their sin. He put enmity between the serpent's offspring and the woman's. He made her pains in childbirth severe. He made the man's labor toilsome. And worst of all, he cursed both man and woman with death. Genesis 3, verse 19. He told the man, "You are dust, and to dust shall you return." God's good creation became tarnished with death because of human sin. In Romans 8, verse 20, the Apostle Paul expands upon this idea. He tells us that God's creation in Genesis 3 was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of the one who subjected it, namely God. His point is that God's curse didn't just affect human beings. It didn't just mar our own experience of this world. No, it put everything else in God's creation out of joint too. The whole natural order has been affected by God's curse on our sin. It's been subjected to futility. The effects of the fall include not just death for human beings, but wars, famines, earthquakes, floods, and pandemics. Everything that ruins our experience of life in this world, everything that's wrong with God's creation, is a result of our rebellion, a result of God's judgment on our sin. COVID-19 is a symptom of the fall. Over the last year, the pandemic has so dominated our headlines that it's easy to forget how many other things have happened that prove this point to us. But even in the last 6 months, we've seen countless pieces of evidence that not everything is right in our world, that something is broken, out of joint. We've seen huge wildfires in America and Australia, a cyclone sweeping across India, devastating floods in Indonesia, locust swarms in East Africa, a volcanic eruption in the Philippines. Every time we turn on the news, there's more mounting evidence that something is wrong, that God's creation has been subjected to futility because of his judgment on our sin. Now, at this stage, you might be wondering, does this mean that COVID-19 is God's punishment on us? And is COVID-19 a punishment from God? Perhaps that's a question you've been asking yourself recently, or one that you've been asked by a non-Christian friend since March. Is COVID-19 a punishment from God? Well, the answer depends on what we mean by that word punishment. And if by punishment we mean God's judgment on humanity corporately, as a species, for our collective rebellion against him and his rule, then I suppose the answer is yes. And COVID-19 is a punishment from God. It's his judgment on our sin. But no more than everything else which is wrong with our world. No more than wars or famines or earthquakes, or floods. COVID-19 is a sign that God has subjected his world to futility in judgment on our collective sin as a species. And pandemics are just one of the many symptoms of that curse. But the answer gets a bit more complicated if we mean by punishment God's specific judgment on a particular individual for a particular sin in their life. Is COVID-19 ever a punishment from God on a single individual or a single sin? Now, that's a question that many people will have been wondering about over the last few months. Is God punishing me with this virus? And it's worth us taking a bit of time to consider what the Bible says. In the Bible, God does sometimes use sickness as a judgment on a specific person or a specific sin. In the Old Testament, in 2 Samuel 24, God judges King David for taking a census by sending a plague on Israel. And the census was a sign that David was trusting in the numbers, the size of his army, rather than trusting in the Lord to give him victory. And as a judgment, God did send a plague on Israel, which killed 70,000 people. We see the same thing in the New Testament. In Acts chapter 12, God judges King Herod, who went around allowing himself to be called a god, by striking him down with worms, the disease. So God does occasionally use sickness to judge a specific individual or a specific sin. And similarly, God can occasionally use sickness to discipline a Christian or a church for some ungodliness in their life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul tells the church in Corinth, who'd been taking the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner, they hadn't been waiting for each other before starting the meal together, that anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. And then he adds, this is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. He seems to be saying that God has struck down some of the Corinthians with illness, and some of them have even died, as a way of disciplining them for the unloving way that they were conducting the Lord's Supper. But to these examples, we need to make two very important qualifications. Firstly, we need to see that not all sickness can be explained like this. Indeed, most sickness probably can't be explained like this. So whilst it's true that sickness can be God's judgment on a specific individual, and it can be God's discipline on a Christian or a church, not all sickness will be one or the other. Indeed, most probably won't. And so we need to resist the temptation to oversimplify. In John chapter 9, when the Lord Jesus was on his way out of the temple, he saw a blind man begging by the side of the road. And his disciples came to him, and they asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" You can see their thinking. And they think that because this man was born blind, he must have done something wrong, or at least his parents must have, for him to have been born that way. But Jesus cuts right across that simplistic way of thinking. He tells them it was not that this man sinned, nor that his parents did, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. So while sickness can be judgment, and it can occasionally be discipline, not all sickness can be explained like this, and we mustn't oversimplify. And secondly, it's worth saying that discipline is not the same as judgment. I would hate for you as a Christian to leave this session this morning worrying and agonizing over whether God might be using COVID-19 to judge or to discipline you. Because if you belong to the Lord Jesus, all God's judgment on your sin has been taken away. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's not to say that God won't occasionally discipline us as Christians, but discipline is not the same as judgment and condemnation. A judgment has a retributive purpose. Its aim is to punish sin. But discipline has a rehabilitative purpose. Its aim is to change sinners. And while God may occasionally use sickness to discipline Christians and to transform them to be more godly, he never uses sickness to condemn. That remains only for those who reject the Lord Jesus as King. Therefore, while some sickness, including from COVID-19, can be a sign of God's judgment, and occasionally a sign of God's discipline on a Christian. It is never the case that God judges Christians with sin, nor is it always the case for non-Christians. For the Christian, if sickness is anything more than a symptom of the fall, it can only be fatherly discipline from a God who loves us. But the big picture is that all suffering, including from global pandemics, is a sign of God's judgment on humanity corporately for our collective rebellion against him as a species. Now, God has subjected creation to futility in his wrath, not at us individually, but at us corporately. COVID-19 is a symptom of the fall. What are the implications of this for us then? Well, there are three things that I want to draw out. And firstly, pandemics are a normal part of life in a fallen world. If the whole creation has been subjected to futility, then we should expect life in this world to feel futile. We should expect there to be wars. We should expect there to be floods and famines and earthquakes. And we should expect there to be pandemics. Because we've grown up at a time of relative peace and prosperity in world history, many of us have got used to the idea that things like pandemics are somehow abnormal. We see them as breaks in the way that things usually work. We act like something totally unprecedented is happening. Indeed, that's been one of the buzzwords of the pandemics, hasn't it? Unprecedented. It's become common to speak of what's happening in the world as an unprecedented event. But when you look at the history books, you find that pandemics like this are not unprecedented at all. In fact, they're a fairly common occurrence in world history. And by historical standards, COVID-19 isn't even a particularly bad pandemic. And not compared to the Black Death, when almost a third of the adult population of Europe was killed, or even the 1918 flu pandemic, when over 50 million people died, compared to just one worldwide from COVID-19. Now, that's not to dismiss or to minimize any of the suffering that's happened in the last 6 months. COVID-19 is a terrible disease, one that we pray would come to an end soon. But it's just that it's not unprecedented. It's normal because we live in a fallen world. And if we insist that what's happening in the world is somehow abnormal, somehow a break from the way that the world usually works, we'll think that if we just wait it out, everything will go back to how it used to be. Things will return to normal. We'll be able to build back better once this is over. But that's just not true. Once COVID-19 has come and gone, something else will rise up to replace it. Because there's something fundamentally wrong with our world. And COVID-19 isn't the disease. It's just one of the symptoms. Pandemics are a normal part of life in a fallen world. Secondly, pandemics expose the folly of idolatry. One of the effects of forgetting that the world is fallen is that it's allowed people to be deceived by the idea of humanism. The idea that if we only make enough technological progress and invest enough money in scientific research and our public health systems, then somehow all of our problems will be solved. We'll find a vaccine. We'll invent a cure. Everything will be okay. And this self-confidence in human ingenuity has been front and center in the political slogans that we've seen coming out since the pandemic began. Perhaps you heard Boris Johnson the other day calling this a struggle humanity will win. Or Dr. Chris Whitty telling us that the science will eventually ride to our rescue. It's clear what they're doing. They want us to believe that in the end, if we just trust the science, if we try hard enough, we can fix this problem ourselves. The science will save us. Now, please don't hear me as being anti-science. I pray that God would provide a vaccine to help us to end this suffering. But if the real problem isn't COVID-19, but God's wrath on our world, then even if we find a vaccine, it won't help us in the long run. The world will still be broken. Creation will still be subject to futility. And it will only be a matter of time before something equally destructive comes along. There's nothing that we can do to fix the fall, which is the real problem here. We're the problem. We're the reason the world is broken. And the only one who can do something about it is the Lord God himself. He made this world. He subjected it to futility. Only he can save us. And pandemics expose the folly of thinking that we'll be all right without him. We can live without him as part of our lives. We can sort things out for ourselves. They call us to repent and to put our trust in him as the only one who can fix this. Pandemics expose the folly of human idolatry. And thirdly, pandemics make us groan for the new creation. As Christians, we know not only that God is the only person who can do something about this, but that he has done something about this. He sent his son, the Lord Jesus, to give us life and to redeem us from the grave. And Jesus has promised to come back and to take us to be with him where he is, in his Father's house, in a new creation, where there won't be any sickness, where there won't be any disease or any crying or mourning or pain, where there won't be any COVID-19, where there won't be death. But while we wait for that day to arrive, we still continue to suffer the effects of the fall. As Christians, we still get sick like everyone else. We still get old. We still die. And creation, too, continues to be bound to its corruption. Now, even though Jesus has made it possible for a new creation to come about, there are still earthquakes, still famines, still volcanic eruptions, still global pandemics while we wait. But whereas we once had no hope, no choice but to accept the brokenness of this world, now, when we experience those things, we groan, we long for the perfect new world that God has promised. In Romans 8, Paul uses the language of groaning, saying that we who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Whenever we feel conscious of how broken this world is, it makes us long for the new creation to arrive. Whenever we feel the brokenness of these fallen, weak, sinful bodies, it makes us long for the perfect resurrection bodies that we will have one day. We groan for the day that Jesus returns, and we cry out to him to hasten its arrival. Pandemics, they make us groan for the new creation to arrive. Now, this image of groaning also brings us on to our second big point about this world, that helps us to understand what's happening, which is that pandemics, as well as being a symptom of the fall, are secondly a sign of the end. Pandemics are a sign of the end. In Romans 8, Paul tells us that our groaning is part of something much, much bigger. Because since Jesus rose from the dead, not only have we been groaning for the new creation, but the whole creation has been crying out, as in the pains of childbirth. It's not just us who longs for Jesus to return, who long for the perfect new world that God has promised. The whole creation cries out for that day to arrive. We groan because of our weak, disease-prone bodies. But creation groans because it still suffers from the effects of the fall, from earthquakes, floods, famines, pandemics. And according to Paul, these groanings are like the pains of childbirth. They hurt, but they also herald the arrival of something new. The picture is of the world as a pregnant woman giving birth. She knows that her baby is coming because she can feel the labor pains inside her. And they're painful. They hurt. They cause suffering. And yet they also tell her that something wonderful is about to be born. But in the same way, the groanings of creation are painful. Floods hurt. Famines hurt. Pandemics hurt. But they also announce that something new is on its way. A new creation is about to be born. Ever since Jesus rose from the dead, these labor pains, just as labor pains tell a pregnant woman, have been announcing to us that a new world is coming. Pandemics are a sign of the end. Now, that's not to say that COVID-19 is a sign that Jesus will definitely come back tomorrow. Remember, the world has been groaning ever since Jesus rose from the dead. The world has been ready for the new creation ever since he was raised as the first fruits of that new world. And he tells us that no one knows exactly when he will return, except the Father himself. So we shouldn't use this pandemic to speculate over exactly when or where Jesus might come back. But COVID-19 does point towards something bigger than itself. Like the labor pains of a pregnant woman, it gives us a sign that the new creation is on its way. This has two further implications for how we live through this pandemic. First, it gives us hope. Living through a pandemic, it's so easy to become paralyzed by the fear and anxiety that's gripped our society. We feel like we need to hold ourselves back from doing anything. It's scary, it's frightening to leave the house. We don't know whether we might catch the virus. We venture out only for the most basic needs and supplies. And we have to cancel everything in order to keep ourselves safe. But as Christians, we don't need to be afraid of COVID-19. We have hope beyond the grave. Of course, we shouldn't be complacent. We shouldn't take risks unnecessarily that put other people in danger. But nor do we need to be paralyzed by fear. In Mark chapter 5, when Jesus is on his way to raise Jairus' daughter, he says to the leader of the synagogue, "Don't fear, only believe." There is no need for us to be afraid of disease, to be afraid even of death, when we have hope, because the Lord who has conquered death is with us. Even a global pandemic, in the age when Jesus is Lord, can only serve to point towards his final victory and the new creation that he has accomplished. It might just be that you found the last few months really difficult. It's frightening. It's scary. It's anxiety-inducing to live constantly with the knowledge that the virus is out there, that it could be spreading in a home near you. But Jesus Christ gives us hope in the face of the grave. I am the resurrection and the life. Everyone who believes in me will never die, says Jesus the Lord. And so we can have hope in the face of the grave. But secondly, we must have readiness. Readiness. In Mark 13, Jesus uses the image of birth pains once again as he teaches his disciples about the time after his death. He says to them that nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, that there will be earthquakes in various places and famines, and that these are but the beginning of the birth pains. But having used that image, he then gives them a crucial command. He says to them, be on your guard. These birth pains not only give them hope, but they remind them to be alert, to stay awake. He repeats the command a further 5 times throughout the chapter, concluding with that command to stay awake. What I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. Later on in the Garden of Gethsemane, he tells them to watch and pray, lest they fall into temptation. This reminds us that COVID-19, insofar as it heralds the new creation's coming arrival, also reminds us to be ready for the day that Jesus comes back. That doesn't mean constantly checking the news or trying to predict exactly when he's going to come back or interpret world events, to read the signs and predict the hour that he will appear. That's not what readiness looks like. Rather, it means being spiritually alert, persevering as Christians, enduring in the faith, ready to meet our Maker. We should be ready for Jesus, prayerfully waiting for him, watching for his arrival. Because in John Piper's words, COVID-19 is a God-given wake-up call to be ready for the second coming of Christ. It should lead to readiness. It's so easy in a pandemic to get all caught up in the news. I certainly find this. I'm constantly checking different websites to find the latest figures and graphs, and yet missing what COVID-19 actually tells us, that this world is broken, that it's coming to an end, that these are but the labor pains of a world yet to come, and that we must be ready for it to arrive. COVID-19 demands our readiness. It is a symptom of the fall and a sign of the end. Well, let's turn back into our groups now to discuss those things before we have time for a break.